As we begin the program this morning, let me thank all of our sister congregations who came and supported our gospel meeting, and we appreciated so very much the good fellowship, and we had a good meeting with Brother Bill Boyd, and we appreciated having him and his good wife, Sister Lori, from the Rockcliff Congregation in Warren County, Tennessee, and I appreciated hearing the good old Southern dialect again. Well, we appreciated very much their coming and Brother Bill shucking the corn and putting it out where the calves could get it. A great study of the theme being the Book of Romans. And so this morning, we want to continue our study concerning glory to God through prayer. Are we utilizing the great spiritual blessing of prayer? And how thankful are we for all of God's physical and spiritual blessings? And then last Lord's Day, we were studying about the teachings of Christ concerning prayer. And of course, we looked at examples of prayers of our Lord and Savior. And so this morning, let's continue our study by answering this question. Are we bringing glory to God by what we say in our prayers? And we want to study the parables that Jesus taught on prayer, if time permits. So we'll begin that continued study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And as we keep in mind, PFE, those initials, each day focus on doing just that, preparing for eternity. We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as, yes, sir, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes, and then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. That would be having a proper attitude as well as following the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. Now, I can assure you, you will receive a wonderful welcome. We love to have visitors. And something else to mention, we're always glad to have Bible studies. You would like to set that up, it's your convenience. Please contact us. We'll look forward to that opportunity. And if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.MorganStreetChurchOfChrist.org. Now, let's get into our study concerning, are we bringing glory to God by what we say in our prayers? And of course, again, we mentioned last Lord's Day that in the public assembly, the men are to lead the prayers, as we know the Lord's instructions that the woman is not to usurp the authority over the man. And so we understand that we want to submit to God's will. Now, praying privately, that's a different matter. And of course, the women's classes and working with children, that's different. But so now, let's look at things that would hinder us from praying as we should. We can avoid these things in our prayer life as brothers and sisters in Christ in the Lord's church. Here are things that we are not going to want to emulate, of course. Notice James 4:3 with me. This is asking amiss. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Well, we don't want to be that way, just having lustful desires and praying for things that we don't really need. Now look at 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Keep 1 John 5:14 in our hearts. We need to be asking according to His will. We can have confidence, if we're living a faithful Christian life, that our prayers are answered. Now, when we pray, do we pray as Jesus did? Remember His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, but thine be done, Luke 22:42. Or do we pray, not thy will, but mine be done? Well, that's not right. We all know that. Let's always remember that God, who is perfect, knows what is best. And we cannot overemphasize the greatness and the perfectness of God, as we've pointed out in each lesson. We should have confidence that God answers our prayers if we are faithful and asked according to His will. That bears repeating. God answers the prayers of His faithful children in the following ways: yes, no, and yes, but at a later time. So when God answers our prayers by denying what we asked, how do we respond? By becoming upset? By beginning to doubt that God is listening? Or by being thankful that God knows what is best for our lives? Well, of course, that's the right answer. God does know what is best for our lives, and when He answers no, that's the best answer. Let's trust God. Accept God's way over man's way, and we'll come out ahead. Isn't that easy to say? Well, we better apply it, is the point. Well, let's go on. Notice, here's number two, that we don't want to be involved in wavering in faith. Now look at James 1:5-7. James 1:5-7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We don't want to have wavering faith, tossed to and fro like the waves. Let's look at Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6, we all should know this verse. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him. So let's be sure we're diligently seeking the will of God. So what kind of faith do we have? Wavering or real faith? I hope we can all answer real faith. But let's go on. Here's the third one. Things to avoid in our prayer life. Failing to worship God when we're able, that is. We're physically able, but we choose not to be in the assembly of the saints. Let's look at John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. Remember the blind man that was healed by the Lord? He knew the Scriptures. Yes, look at Psalm 34:15-17. You'll see that's what he was quoting. And he's right, because this is scriptural. The healed blind man knew that. And though being blind, he could see what many do not see with sight. Of course, he was healed, and we're glad to study about that. But even while blind, he could see more than so many others. Why should we expect God to answer our private prayers when we fail to pray to God with the saints during the worship services. And again, we're not referring to the physically sick, but to the spiritually sick. Hebrews 10:25. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some are that way. We don't want to be like that. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance with supplication for all the saints. Remember that, Ephesians 6:18. Here's the fourth problem that we want to avoid in bringing glory to God by what we say in our prayers. We don't want to be living in rebellion, disobedience to God's will. Now, a person can be attending the worship services, but living in sin. So this is a different situation. Notice this is 1 John 3:22. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Let's be sure that we are living righteous lives before God, because we keep his commandments. You see, that's why we're able to receive what we ask. What a difference we as God's faithful children can make in this world by praying fervently. Oh, we need fervent prayers of righteous people. James 5:16. Notice James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I have been blessed by so many who have prayed for me in my recent illness, and it means so very much to know that righteous brethren are fervently praying for me. And who am I? So are we faithfully keeping his commandments? Here's a fifth one that we want to avoid in bringing glory to God by what we say in our prayers, and that's not treating spouses properly. Look at 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We don't want our prayers hindered, do we? Well, let's treat our wives properly. Husbands, wives, respect the husband. Do as God would have us to in our roles. They're both important. God loves us all the same, but we have different roles. If all husbands and wives would obey God's word, then all marriages would be successful. Write it down and put it in our pockets and hang on to it. Notice Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, and this is again Ephesians 5:33, so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Parents, what kind of examples are we setting for our children, and grandparents setting for our grandchildren and so forth? So as we pray, we always should remember that we're speaking to our Heavenly Father, who is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise, love, and devotion. Now notice Jesus taught before giving the model prayer, and this is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually a prayer given as instruction to the disciples in how to pray. So it's a model. And this is Matthew 6:5-8. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, ye use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. That's right. But now let's turn our attention to the parables that Jesus taught on prayer. So we're going to Luke chapter 11, and we're going to pick up here with verse 5. Luke 11, verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, or persistence would be another word there, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. So after Jesus gave the model prayer to teach his disciples how to pray, he told this parable to encourage them to continue being humble and persistent in their praying. This parable does not teach that God is troubled with our prayers, of course not, but it's a argument of contrast. Let's notice now verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asks, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We need to appreciate the contrast here. Also, there's no night with God. Psalm 74:16 bears this out. 74:16. The day is thine, the night also is thine, thou hast prepared the light and the sun. You know, the friend responded begrudgingly to the request, but God answers the request of his faithful children lovingly and generously. Remember James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So possibly one of the reasons our prayers are not answered with the urgency in which we think that they should is that our faith is challenged and strengthened. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Well, certainly. We do not have to knock the door down to get our Heavenly Father's attention, but we must continue to be humble. Yes, and being persistent. Now let's go to Luke 18. We're going to see another parable of our Lord and Savior concerning prayer. Luke 18, beginning in verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regardeth man. Not a very pleasant person. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, he shall..." Well, here's the question. Shall he find faith on the earth? So Jesus gave a discourse to his disciples back in Luke 17, 22 through 37 concerning his second coming, which seems to be connected to this parable, as he spake unto them, that is, the disciples. So while waiting for the second coming of Christ, Christians are to, what, endure trials and tribulations, persecutions, temptations. Thus we who are in Christ, in the Lord's church, must not faint, but continue to pray. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Christians have adversaries, as did the widow. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. And 1 Timothy 5:14 and 15. 1 Peter 5:14 and 15, "I will therefore that the younger women marry and bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some already turned aside after Satan." Satan uses his allies to persecute Christians. Keep that in mind, all of us. God does not immediately avenge us of our adversaries. In Revelation 6:10 bears this out. "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Well, the point is, let's not question God. What's that going to do? It's not proper. God doesn't make mistakes. We need to strengthen our faith. Trust God and be patient. God delays his vengeance out of love, but he will avenge his children. Romans 12:19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Romans 12:19 bears that out. 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Notice that this judge did not fear God, nor have regard for fellow man. Verse 2. We'll look at the Roman governors and judges who often took bribes. Acts 24:25-26. Bear that out, as Felix had hoped that money would be given him of Paul, that he might loosen him, wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. So the unjust judge is very open about his unrighteousness, verse 4, which reminds us today of those who have no regard for their fellow man, because there is no fear of God before their eyes, as in Romans 3:18. So if an unrighteous judge like this one would give a persistent widow what she desired, would not a loving and righteous God hear the petitions of his persistent children? Well, of course. Notice the similarities between the parable of the widow before the unjust judge and the parable of the friend at midnight. Both had a need that they could not take care of themselves. We have such needs, therefore we must depend on God rather than self. Study Luke 9:23-25. But something else I want to mention. Both were persistent. That is, they did not give up. We must go directly to God. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Both received what they had need. Does not God know what is best for our lives? Or your Father know what things you have need of before you ask Him? Remember Matthew 6:8. Both parables teach we ought not to become discouraged when our prayers are not answered immediately as we think they should. Let's always ask according to God's will. Christ is our perfect example. Luke 22:41-44. Luke 22:41-44. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So as we close out our study on bringing glory to God through prayer, let's be sure that we are not doing things that hinder our prayers, as we covered this morning, and we are being humble and persistent as we pray. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Remember that. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We must obey the gospel of Christ and then continue living as a faithful child of God to enjoy all spiritual blessings, which are where? In Christ. Ephesians 1:3. The privilege of prayer most assuredly is included in the spiritual blessings of Christ. All accountable souls who are outside of the body of Christ are lost in their sins and do not enjoy spiritual blessings found only in Christ. So let's be sure that we've obeyed the gospel according to the New Testament pattern, following the examples of conversion in the book of Acts. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we stand ready to assist you. We have to hear the truth. That's how our faith comes. Romans 10:17. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. John 8:24. That motivates us now to repent, to make a change of wills and do the will of God. Luke 13:3-5. Having changed our will and now we're ready to do God's will, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. After stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, now we're ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism. Here's where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. As Ananias told Saul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Yes, the Lord adds us to His body, the true church. Acts 2:47. Here's where we need to remain faithful even unto death, and we'll have the victory. And we thank you so much for listening today.